not many here. Obviously, being a Christian. Do you? Do you have a birthmark for being a believer? David Jeremiah, I like what his footnotes are sometimes. This is a John presented five tests. You got a paper and pencil, write these down. Five tests that will help to determine if a person is really a Christian. These tests are given as birthmarks to assure true believers of their salvation. Now, go back. I see him getting off, so you may be dismissed. Now, this is a test, okay? Faith test. What do we believe? Is our doctrine in line with the Word of God? He had wrote down a couple of passages found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. believe in them. Well, you don't believe in them. Yeah, they did wrong. They know what they did. They know they did wrong. But I'm telling you one thing right out. God loves them just as much as he loves everybody else. Whether you do right or wrong, doesn't matter who you are or what you do, God still loves you. That's the love test. Growth test. Are we overcoming more and more as we walk with the Lord? Are we overcoming more and more as we walk with the Lord? I'll tell you, when you're walking with someone, you learn to walk the way they walk, or you walk with them. But when you are walking with God in your life, there's a lot of people out there that they call themselves Christians. But the problem is with them, some of them people is they see somebody down in that ditch, they're not going to reach down and help that person up. I'm too good to do that. I don't want to do that because that made me lower than them. Believe it or not, I picked a lot of residents in prison up. They were standing. But when you get and talk to them about Jesus Christ, that's reaching down in that gutter and picking them up. And that's found in verse 4 and 5. And it says in there, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who also who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's growth test. Sin test. Well, yeah, there's a sin test. Do we avoid sin or do we continue sinning and consider it acceptable? There goes back to what they had shared. Some people believe that once saved, always saved. Are you truly saved? Are you a true believer of Jesus Christ? That's found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. And it says in there about this message in which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. But if we walk in the light of as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Then found in verses 4 to 9, it says, whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whosoever abides in him does not sin. Whosoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteousness, just as he is righteousness. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever has born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. See, when you accept Jesus Christ and totally accept him, you are born of God. You are whosoever born of God does not sin. So you do you still sin? I'd say right now, if I was to say I never sinned, I'd be a liar. I'd be made out to be a liar, and God would be a liar to me. Do I still sin? Yes, we still sin. But we got a merciful God that forgives us. You know, that's the problem. Today's society, they think, well, if I don't become a Christian, I'll think about it in tribulation. David Jeremiah is going through a study right now called Great Disappearance. And I'm telling you something right now, that opens up a lot of people's eyes. Are you going to wait until the tribulation comes to accept Jesus Christ? During the tribulation, there is a thing that is called the mark of the beast. You know what that mark of the beast is? That's a computer chip or something in you. Say you go to the grocery store, David Jeremiah is explaining this. You go to the grocery store, you buy a whole bunch of groceries and take them up front and you give them to the cashier and they put that scanner in. Try and scan your head, don't find nothing. Try and scan your hands, they don't find nothing. Remember, you're starving, you're hungry. You have nothing to eat. Oh, you can't have this because you don't have the computer chip or you don't have it. Nothing to eat. You have no way of paying it. But I have cash. Oh, we don't accept cash anymore. What's happening to today's society? They're going cashless. People better wake up. And as I was reading on there, I came to in unbelievers. In the commandment, it says, believers show evidence of children of God, keeping God's commandments. God's law is a product of his nature and expresses his will for his people. Defined commands not only offend God, but also corrupt the fabric of reality, society, family, friendship, all pay a price when people sin. Unbelievers, as one of the key verses in verse 3, it says, unbelievers find God's commands burdensome because they lack what every believer has, and that's the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, that the believer finds obedience to be a source of peace. In Matthew 4, chapter 10, verses Chapter 11, verse 28, it says, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it reads on there, and it says, to keep means involves watching over, carefully paying attention, and never forgetting. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. And it says in there, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond and peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So in other words, God is in all of us and he loves us. Then also, as I was reading on there, I like what he wrote down there. Also, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. I have him marked in here somewhere. There he is. I'll find it here. I got my pages marked. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 to 14. And it says in there, I urge you, in the sight of God who gives all, gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, witness the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep his commandments without spot, blameless, unto the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. He wants you to stay spotless, blameless. You call yourself a Christian. Yeah, do we stumble? Yes. Do I stumble? Yes. But we also make it right with God. And then reading on, I'm going to soon close with this. In reading on, it says, for those who know Christ have an overcoming spirit and actual victory. Despite the temptations, where that is found in chapter 4, verse 4, it says about victory. God has defeated the evil world system. And in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There is that of God was in Christ's reconciliation, the world to himself, not in putting their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus Christ came in this world to be a sin for us, that we might become righteousness with God in him. And going on, in one of the last ones it says in there, it says in taking loving ownership of his people. You think sometimes, you think, well, nobody owns me. I'm going to tell you something. You are owned. Put it in a good way. If you are a Christian, God owns you. He has ownership of you. Satan may try to persuade. I was told one time when one of them said, David Jeremiah had one of the great disappearance, about when someone dies, everybody that knows June Yetter, she said to one of the ladies that was watching her, said, and I'm sure Roger shared that she said, get some seats, place some seats down, chairs down for the women that are here. And I know the lady that said it, she said, June, there's no people here. Guess what? She had angels waiting on her to take her home. See, Satan can go to heaven, but his demons can't. See, Satan rules the air. So what he tries to do is when he knows that's a Christian, why everybody, that is one of the reasons why everybody has a guardian angel. If you don't believe that, buddy, you're not a Christian. Everybody has a guardian angel, whether you like him or not. He guards you. When you accept Jesus Christ and you're a Christian, and you go up to the heavens, well, into heaven, to be with God, he sends that guardian angel. He's watching over you. Because Satan is going to try and take you away, because you are one of God's people, chosen. I like what he said on that one. And as it says, loving ownership in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. And it says in there, about them, and if I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, that's in closing. And it says about, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be it brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of the death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is victory. In him there is victory in Jesus. But thanks be to God who gives us that victory. When you sin, God is the one that takes that sin away from us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't know what the problem you may be facing. Well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to roll by his regulations, and that's going to put a hinder to me. It's not. You know, this world's coming to a close. Whether we believe it or not, only what you do for Christ is going to last. If you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, that's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing we have to live for, is Jesus Christ. When you live for Jesus Christ, you have nothing else, but you have the love of Jesus Christ in you and through you. When you learn to love God, you also learn to love one another. And that's the problem with today's society. They don't want to love one another. They want to cause heartaches. That is Satan. People don't believe in Satan, but buddy, I tell you what, it's the truth. Satan is the one that's causing a lot of problems today because he knows his time is short. Let us bow our heads, our gracious and heavenly Father. Thank you for the message you allowed me to lay on my heart. Let it go forth, spread the good news. It'll help us, one another, that are struggling with the sin in our lives, struggling with the problems in our life. Lord, we come before you lifting them up. Lift one another up in love and admiration. That we love one another. There's a greater love as no man than he laid down his life for one another. Let us all lay down our lives for one another, that we can bring others into the fold before it is too late. For you are coming back in Jesus' precious name. Dear Lord, as we go forth from here, let everyone be safe to travel on their way home. And let us love one another as you have loved us. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.